could be any hour. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You got your Bibles and want to read with us, turn to St. John chapter 15. Read some very familiar scripture. St. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And let's go ahead and read verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. All right. We got to thinking and praying about what the Lord would have, which way the Lord would have us to go. And so verse 12 came to us, that you love one another, and I want you to listen to this last few words, as I have loved you. Now it's easy to say, I love you. It's harder to show it. But I want you to think about that statement for just a minute. This is my commandment, this is Jesus talking, the letter's in red, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, how did Jesus love you? Now, Ray John sung the song just a minute ago, yes, Jesus loves me. Can you agree to that? There's a song we used to sing up at Round Mountain. It's over, I think it's page 58 or something like that in the Green Book. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. But I just want you to think for just a minute on how Jesus loved you. Think about what he did, what he went through, the great sacrifice that he made. And let's just start in the beginning. Over in Genesis, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Is that not what the scripture says? Not just in God's image, but somebody was there with him, wasn't he? Must have been Jesus. Must have been the Son. Let us make man in our image. Let's make him where he loves everybody. Let's make him where he has compassion on everybody. Let's make him so that he's long-suffering. Let's make him to know joy. Let's make him to have peace down deep in his heart. That's how Jesus loved you. He made you in his image. He made you in a way that you couldn't help but love people. He made you in a way that you looked at folks and you wanted to be a help, and you wanted to show kindness. That's how he made you. That's how Jesus loved you. So how did Jesus love you? We've read about how men made sacrifices of bulls and goats and turtle doves and sheep. We read about the Ten Commandments, how man couldn't keep them. And at the very instant when God said, let us make man, I believe before the foundation of the world, Jesus knew what he'd have to do. He knew that he'd have to go for this creation that he had helped make in his image. He knew what he'd had. This is how Jesus loved you. Satan says, nobody cares. Take a look at how Jesus loves you. He was the Son, he is the Son of God? Where did He come from? What did He leave? He left a place where the streets are made of gold. He left a place where the angels sang His praises. He left a place where there was no sin. He left a place where there was no death. He left a place where there was no sickness, no heartache, no pain. That's what He left. Why did He leave? Because He loved you. He left that. That's how Jesus loved you. He left a place where everybody sang His praises, to come to a place where He would be spit upon, to come to a place where He would be mocked, to come to a place where He would be beaten, to come to a place where He'd be hung on a cross, to come to a place where He would give His life blood so that we could be redeemed. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. He made us in His likeness and in His image. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Preacher, I want to see Jesus. Guess what? You will. Every eye shall behold Him. Even the ones that... You want to know how He loved you? He even loved that man that pierced Him in the side. He even loved the Roman soldiers that took the hammer and the nail and drove it through His hands and His feet. While that soldier, Rick, was striking that nail, and you could hear the hammer ping off of it, and the pain that He must have been in, every drop of blood that rolled down His palm was for the salvation of the very one driving the nail. That's how He loved you. How did Jesus love you? This is my commandment. Now listen. It's going to get close. This is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. We're all for love as long as we can be comfortable. But God's love will make you do things that's a little bit uncomfortable. God's love will make you get out of your comfort zone. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did He love you? Well, I read where some people mumbled about Him one time. Now, He came from glory. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He could have been born right in Herod's kingdom. But He came humble, didn't He? He was born in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea. He could have come and had all the riches of this world. And let me just preach this right here. Yes, He was born in a stable. He was born in a barn, in a manger in Bethlehem. Yes, His father was just a carpenter and probably never made a whole lot of money. Yes, He was raised up and probably poor. But I want you to know this, just because the world thought that He didn't have much, He owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owned it all. You think of it this way. You know, somebody wins the lottery, they'll go from driving a Hyundai to driving a Cadillac. But when folks have had money all their life, they don't flash it, do they? Jesus didn't have to show the world. He already owned it. But He was willing to give it all up because He loved you. Remember that song? I think Becky sings it every once in a while. Because he loved me, my Savior died on the cross. He didn't have to die, did he? He was the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He had never, this is, well, preacher, I thought everybody died. He didn't have to. Let's take a look at what brings about death. Do you want to? For when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Pilate went and he judged him, and he took notice of him, and he looked through his life at what he had said and what he had done. A man that had judged many a thief, many a criminal, many a crook. And when Pilate was finished observing him and making judgment on him, the official judgment was, I find no fault in this man. He knew no sin, so thus he knew no death. But he died anyway. Why? This is how much he loved you. His sin didn't bring forth his death. Mine did. Yours did. He paid the price for our sin. Why? That's how he loved us. For when we were without God, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For the man that says there is no God, Christ loved them enough to die for them too. For the folks that say I'll live however I want to, I'll do what I want to, I'll raise all kind of heck, and I'll party up till the day I die. For the folks, for the fool that hath said, I'm going to give you a little scripture about that. For the fool that saith in his heart, there is no God. Guess what Jesus did for them? He loved them enough till he died for them too. We went through an end service, and you pray for me for just a few more minutes. I won't be much longer. We went through an end service. It was on the military about the Medal of Honor. If you know what that is, and some of you military folks might know what I'm talking about, it's an award that's given to servicemen who make a great sacrifice to save other soldiers. It's a rare honor. And I think maybe there might have been just 38 or something like that living at the present day. And they have their stories about what happened, what rank they were, where they were at, the official account of what happened, and things like that. And the men that received this award, a lot of times they don't even want to talk about why they got it. They don't even feel worthy of it. You see, friend, they were saving somebody and making a sacrifice. Well, let me tell you about somebody that made a sacrifice for you. Yeah. Nobody cares. Yes, somebody did. Mm-hmm. Somebody died just for you. Yeah. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter how much money you have. It don't matter how much education you've got. It don't matter what your name is, who your acquaintances are. It don't matter what great things you're going to accomplish in life or what great things you fail at. Jesus still died for you. Why? Because he loves you. Don't ever let anybody tell you that nobody cares. Don't let Satan whisper in your ear. You know how many people are taking their life this very night? Because Satan has convinced them that no one cares. They should just give up, throw in the towel. They should just quit. Oh, if they could just realize the great cost that it costs for their salvation if they could just realize how much Jesus loves them. No greater love hath a man than this, than he gave his life for his friends. And then if you read on down two or three more verses, it says, "Lo, I have called you my friends." Now let's go back to the text verse. "This is my commandment." What is a commandment? It's an order, isn't it? Is that not right? "This is my commandment." In other words, here it is in writing. You might call it a job description. That's what they do for us. They have official. If you work for the school system, they got a job description. Things you're supposed to do, duties you're supposed to carry out, things like that. You might call it a Christian's job description. "This is my commandment." Are you a Christian? If you've been saved, you may not be perfect. None of us are. But I believe if you've been saved, you'll identify yourself as a Christian. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're a Christian, then this is something we should do. "This is my commandment, that ye," you, me, we, "that ye love one another as I have loved you." Are we willing to get uncomfortable to show the love we need to show somebody? It's all right, long as it don't cost me anything, but what if it does? It cost Jesus his life. Now, I'm not done with that thought yet. You hang on to that for just a minute. Because I can't leave him hanging on the cross dead, can you? He said, "Because I live." Why did he come? Why did he show the love that he did? Why did he leave the splendors of heaven? Why did he endure the suffering and the pain that he did? It was so that we could have life and have it more abundant. He said, "Because I live, ye can live also." It was to erase the sin debt that we had. It was to pay the price that I couldn't pay. Oh, you talk about love. Now listen, I could run up a great debt, and no doubt my mom and my dad, if he were still living, would try their best to help me out of that situation, but it might be even more money than they can come up with. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. My family couldn't pay it. I could have went to friends and even they couldn't pay it. But Jesus loved me so much, he paid the whole thing off for me. Paid all my sin debt. And instead of holding that over my head, instead of sending me an email or sending me a letter in the mail saying you owe this much monthly to pay off your debt, he said, "Let's just forget about it. Let's just cast that sin debt into the sea for forgetfulness. In other words, you're even. You're free of your debt. And do you know anybody else that has loved you that much as Jesus did?" "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You see, he's not like us. Well, I would, but you remember that time. He's not like it. I'd like to, but I remember such and such and so and so. He's not like that. He's already forgot that. You know how many times I have failed him and come short. And when I really needed him, I had to get down and say, God, forgive me. I know I've let you down. I know I've not done the things that I should have done. And when I come before him with a broken heart, he'd hear me and he'd forgive me. Now, aren't you glad? He could have called that thing back up. He could have said, you sorry rascal. I know you. I know. And here's what the Bible says. Well, preacher, I've not done anything. Well, this is what the Bible says. Confess your faults one to another. Yeah. I can be slothful. How about you? Are you slothful sometimes? Do you pray every time that he comes by and knocks at your heart? I catch myself saying, I got to do this. I got to do that. Do you talk about him every time that he comes by? Every time that he knocks at your heart and says, say a word. Chuck, you might be right in court. And Jesus say, why don't you talk a word for me? I might be right in the middle of a lesson. And Jesus say, why don't you just tell him about your blessings? Do you do everything he'd have you to do? See, I could be slothful. I could be sorry. I could do things that go against God's word, and I'm sure you might have too. But see, when we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek God's face, he forgives us and he casts that sin in a sea of forgetfulness. Aren't you glad he's not like me and you? He don't hold anything against us. He just wants to love us. Oh, I wish I could get close like I need to. The only thing that's standing in your way is you. I'd like to feel the power that so-and-so feels. I'd like to be able to shout like these good ladies at the church. There's only one thing standing in your way. You. We worry too much about what somebody's going to say, what somebody's going to think. You ought to be glad Jesus loves you. I know this country's not perfect. But you ought to thank God that he's put you right here in East Tennessee. You ought to thank God that you're in a place where you can hear the gospel. You ought to thank God that the scripture says the poor. Oh, God, thank you. The poor shall have the gospel preached to him. That's how much he loves you. He wanted to make sure you could hear the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I'm not preaching to hear myself talk. I'm not preaching because you pay me. I'm preaching to see your sinner saved. Because Jesus loves you enough. He's already paid for your salvation. All you have to do is ask him and he will save your soul. This is my commandment. In other words, John, you do this now. That you love one another. Marty, you do this now. That you love one another as Jesus loves you. Sometimes we have to get a little bit uncomfortable, don't we? Well, he did. If he could leave heaven to give us eternal salvation, surely to goodness we could lay flesh down and get out of our own way and love one another. You know what gets in the way of us showing his love? Flesh. This does. This. We have so much pride. I read a book, and I don't read a lot of religious books other than the Bible, because I want to go by what the King James Version Bible says. But I read a book one time. The title of the book was, It's Not About Me. In other words, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. Would you like to for people to see Jesus in your life? Would you? Would you like to have so much Jesus in you? And if you've been saved, you got enough already. You just got to let this stuff get out of the way. Would you like to have so much in you that when you walk into the Walmart and somebody says Jesus' name, it brings a tear to your eye? Would you like to have enough in you that all your neighbors say that person must be saved? I'm about done. Would you like to have enough Jesus in you that just the touch of your hand could bring condemnation on a sinner? Would you like to have enough Jesus in you? And this is how you have Him. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's how you have Him. You see, this is not complicated. Man has diluted this stuff with doctrine, different denominations. Man has put stoppers, roadblocks, things to stumble over. But salvation and the way to get it is still very, very simple. And figuring God out, He's not complicated either. Did you know that? You want me to tell you how to understand God? God is love. Now, would you say somebody that left the riches of glory, all that heaven had, just for you to be spit on? Have you ever had that grandbaby ever get a hold of your whiskers, Chuck? Pull, it don't feel good, does it? They plucked his whiskers. They beat him about the head with a rod, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it? They blindfolded him, smote him, and said, "Prophesy." Did he get angry and spout off like I would? No, he was meek as a lamb. You know why? Because he loved you. They took him and scourged him. Who deserved that scourging? Why, it was me. It was my sin he was paying for. Who deserved to be beaten? Who deserved the blood to pour down their back and their flesh be cut open? Who deserved to have to carry that cross? Who deserved to walk up Calvary's hill? Who should have been nailed to the cross for their sin? I dare say it was me. I dare say it was you. But instead, thank you, Lord, because Jesus loved us, He died on Calvary for sinners like you and I. And I preached this the other day. They went, and Joseph and Nicodemus went and begged his body and prepared it as a Jew's man, their Jew's worst to bury. I can't leave him hanging on the cross because he's not there. Why, he's not even in Joseph's tomb. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's not in here. He's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. I may never get over to where that natural tomb is, but I know in my heart He lives, because He lives right in here, Marty. And one day, I'll lay this body down. I'll have a glorified body, and I'll rise to be with Him in the air. Oh, thank you, Lord. He says how much He loves us, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, preacher, what's in it for me?
that's your attitude, where'd you live? Let me touch base on this. I've got this bench all out of whack, ain't I? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about charity. And if you really get into that scripture, charity is not what you give of your excess. It's what you give that you need to help someone else. It talks about, I wish I could quote it, I can't. The older I get, the less my brain cells click together. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It talks about a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Those are nice whenever you got all the other instruments, but what are they by themselves? Just a noise. Now, Ronnie's a good musician. He may know more about it than I do. But I believe you can only play one note on a cymbal. You can hit that thing all you want to, and it's only going to make one sound, isn't it? But when that one note is hit just right, with the right timing, with all them other notes around it, then you can make some music. Charity suffereth long. Does that not sound like the love of God? What's that song say? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty power bound down with care, God gave his son to win. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. I like the last verse, don't you? If we could fill the ocean with ink, we'd never be able to write out how great God's love is. And what are these? These three are one. Father, the Son, and the Word, I believe is what it said, Holy Ghost. You see, friend, I've had my house mortgaged. Got just a few years left, but even at that, we've paid on it for a while. But if Bank of America called me in the morning and said, Mike, don't you pay another penny. We've got you covered on this. I would kind of feel indebted to them. I would feel like they had done me a great favor, forgiven my debt. Well, I might even be inclined to recommend them highly to anybody that needed what I needed. I didn't have to pay part of it. I didn't pay any of it. Jesus loved me so much, he paid it all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. You see, I owe him much more than I've ever paid back. And I believe you'd have to say the same thing, wouldn't you? Well, it starts, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see how much he loves you. That's how much he expects us to love one another. Oh, friend. And when we can love like Jesus loves, we'll be blessed. How many blessings have I missed because I have not been willing to love like he loved? Let me say this. Over in, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the whole body fitly framed together. One body, many members. Now, you couldn't pay me to take a hammer and just repeatedly hit that finger. You couldn't pay me to get a hold of a nail, fingernail or toenail, and just tear and rip
until I ripped it out. I believe it would hurt, don't you? Either one of those scenarios, I believe, would hurt a little. We're one body. You know what it does? It takes all of us. It takes every single one of us. I don't know how many hundreds, maybe thousands of parts there are in that Dodge Journey sitting out there in the parking lot. But I started home with my mother from the hospital here a few weeks ago. And I didn't make it home. It went to jumping and sputtering. And I was on the interstate and everybody was running 80 or 90 miles an hour. And it was so bad, I got afraid to continue on. I pulled off the interstate, called the wrecker, had it taken to a mechanic. Now, out of all those hundreds and thousands of parts, do you know what caused that car to act that way? One. One single part, about the size of that finger. One spark plug. That's what it was. Now we're one body. You see, it took all those parts on that car to make that car run right. It takes all of us if we're going to do what God wants us to do and see our people saved. It takes every one of us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.